So hopefully, just as we begin, hopefully on your way in, you are able to pick up a handout. If you've not got one, maybe put your hand up. Somebody might be able to bring you one. I don't know if we have any. Do we have any left? But hopefully those at the back can sort you out with one. It is really a great joy to be with you this morning. It's lovely just to be amongst family. And it's great to serve you by coming and bringing God's word and helping us to follow Jesus in this quite, I guess, exciting and popular area of culture and of our lives. Just to start, in 1970, video games started becoming more and more popular. They became commercially available, and they were met with quite a mixture of reactions. And even though we've come on 50 years and video games have developed a lot, there's still quite a mixture of reactions towards video games. So you might have those who on one side think that Christians shouldn't have anything to do with video games, and then others right on the other end of the spectrum who are very enthusiastic and will pick up any new game or console without giving it a second thought. And there'll be some of those in the room today, and there'll be a mixture of us somewhere in between. And we can't escape the fact that video games are popular. They're really, really popular. The stats actually show, and you can see it on the screen, that globally, video games are a bigger industry than the whole of the global music industry. They're bigger than the whole global film kind of movie industry, and they're bigger than the whole global book industry. That's enormous. So think about that. That's a huge, huge part of world culture and what's going on. And so it's no surprise to us, really, that they are that popular. That it does bring in that much money. They are enormously popular. There's a chap called Regan Rose who wrote a book called A Student's Guide to Gaming. And he says the thing about video games that makes them so exciting is that we get to participate in the game. Unlike movies and books, you can't change the story. Whereas when you play video games, you're in the story. Andy Robertson, in his book, Taming Gaming, he says that video games are like art, but where the canvas moves and responds to our presence. That's quite something, isn't it, for us to enjoy? I was playing a VR game with my friend yesterday, and it is just, it's exciting that you can interact with a game so fully. And they're colourful, and it's creative, they're really popular. And so it's good for us to think about our reaction and relationship to video games. Now, there are Christians that are engaging with this. They're thinking about this. And one of them is a chap called Tim Wilson. He's a pastor in the UK. And he wrote a blog about some of the myths surrounding video games. And I think it would be good for us to quickly just look at some of those myths so that we can get the big picture of who's playing games and what kind of games are they playing. So let's do a bit of myth busting to start our Sunday morning together. A bit of myth busting. Myth number one is video games are just for kids. Video games are just for kids. You might have heard that. You might have said it. Recent data suggests that 73% of 35 to 44-year-olds play video games. Surprising, maybe. So that means you could ask a colleague, you'd just as easily ask a colleague about a game that they've been playing as you could about a TV show that they've been watching. So they're popular. When I spoke on this topic at my church, we got a number of video games consoles out before the service so that people could come and play. And there was one chap who arrived, he's in his 70s, and I quite rudely said to him, "Oh, have you come to observe?" And he said, "Well, no, I play Call of Duty on my tablet at home." And I thought, I'm the one speaking on this later, and I'm making assumptions about this. Video games are for all, are appeal to all ages. Video games, this is the second myth, video games are just for guys. There is a stereotype, maybe as you picture who, you know, somebody playing video games, it's a guy. But in the UK, during the pandemic, girls played more video games than guys. You can go on Statista and look that study up. It has dipped, it's swung the other way, since we've come out of the lockdowns, but not by much. And I think it's important that we ditch that stereotype if we are going to disciple one another and recognise that not just one half of the church enjoys video games, but the whole church. Myth number three, video games will make you violent. I'm sure you've heard on the news before that a crime was committed, and it comes out that this person who committed that crime has been really influenced by violent video games. But a review was done in 2019 of all available evidence, and it was concluded that violent game engagement does not cause aggressive behaviour in adolescents. This was particularly at adolescents. So that means that just as if you were playing a game of Cluedo, afterwards you wouldn't go and attack somebody with a candlestick in a library. In the same way, for video games, there's not that causal link that's been found. Myth number four, video games will get you addicted. Now, there is a bit of truth to this one. The World Health Organization and the APA do recognize video game addiction as a disorder. But it is estimated that only 3-4% of gamers are actually addicted in that kind of way. So in one sense, we shouldn't be overly scared and overly cautious, but there's a but here, they are really addictive, aren't they? In that kind of small aspect, they are. It's easy to neglect yourself, to not care for yourself, to not care for those around you, to not do your jobs around the house, because you've got caught up in a video game. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. We don't want to be mastered by video games. And then lastly, all video games are violent. Now, this isn't true. We're going to think a little bit about violence in video games a bit later. But it's not true. The vast majority of video games are not rated 18, PEGI 18. PEGI is the age rating system for video games. But the vast, that's only 12.2% in 2019 of video games were kind of 18. And you've got sports, you've got world building, you've got creative play, you've got dance and fitness, you've got quizzes and puzzles, and so much within the world of video games. The most sold video game of 2022, any guesses? Can anybody guess the most sold video game of 2022?
FIFA?
It was FIFA, yeah. And you can't punch the ref, I don't think. Maybe a hard tackle or something, but you know, it was popular, and it was a football game. So having done a bit of our myth busting, we see that all sorts of people play video games, and all sorts of ages, and they're playing all sorts of games, and they're playing a lot of them, so it seems. And so we want to ask, what does God's word have to say to us? And so here we're moving on to the second part, which I've called glory hunting, and that will become that'll make sense in just a moment or two. You see, the Bible tells us about who God is. The Bible tells us about who we are, and about the world in which we live. And so he is able to help us understand why we enjoy video games and how we can enjoy them in the best way. So let me briefly take us right back to the beginning of the Bible, to the passage that was read for us. You can feel free to have it in front of you, particularly to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, where God says that he's going to create mankind in his own image. They're going to be male and female as he creates them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And I want us to see three particular elements here. First of all, God has made all of us and he has given to each of us the task of ruling under God. God has given us the earth to rule. So that's ruling over the world, stewarding well, working it, finding materials, problem solving, creatively helping this world to flourish. He's made us to rule this world. And this isn't a solo mission. You see, he made us to be in relationship with one another. He's describing us increasingly filling the world with people who are also ruling over the world and cultivating it. So we've got ruling, we've got relationship, and also we've got reward. There is great reward in ruling over the world as God tells us to rule over it in the way that he wants us to. And we can enjoy the rich fruit of that reward. Now, sadly, literally a page or two later within the Bible, everything goes south. Human beings reject God, and we decide to choose to rule this world in our own way. And so our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and with the world were damaged. So what that means is that this work of ruling and our relationships, they're hard. And here's the thing, and this is the writer Regan Rose pointed this out to me, so credit to him. These three things, ruling, relationship, and reward, are what video games are all about. Can you see that within some of the games maybe that you play or you've seen others play? When we enter the world of video games, we are hunting for the glory of what God initially made us to be. We're longing for Eden. We're longing to live out that quest, that life that God has called us to live, one of ruling, of relationship, and of reward. So a couple of examples. Hogwarts Legacy has just come out. You can become a master of Hogwarts and its grounds over the skills and over the evil forces. And even though it is a one-player game, it's relational because you're telling everybody else which Hogwarts house that you're in, whether you're a Hufflepuff or whatever. And then there's the reward of collecting everything in the game and going platinum, which means you've collected every possible item in the game, which is a lot of hours. But you see, ruling, relationship, rewards. What about FIFA? You can dominate the pitch. You can play with or against your mates. And you can enjoy the rewards of World Cup glory. So do you see these things coming out in the games that we're playing? Video games tap into that desire to restore us to that level of glory, ruling the world as God would have us do it. But also, just as much as we enjoy them and they point to how God made us, they can also frustrate us. So let's just think about that for a minute. I'll leave that up there. First, let's think about ruling and rewards. As you and I, as we play Minecraft or whatever it is, as we create worlds and develop our skills and complete tasks, video games stir up that deep human longing for the world that we were made for. And they can remind us that life, work, relationships were made to be a gift. They were made to be enjoyed. And in video games, it's easier and there's not much risk involved. You can just give it a go. But also, we do find that they can be a frustration. There's a frustration having given hours upon hours to completing something, but knowing that it's just really a simulation. You've not actually kind of created anything. It's not fulfilling. My younger brother and I, we were playing a game where you could drive around a 3D version of Hawaii, and we spent two full days driving on every bit of road because there was an award for driving on every bit of road in Hawaii. Two full days. And that might seem pointless. I think it was pointless. And there was the initial high that we'd done it, and then really just that empty feeling of what have we achieved. And so we have to recognize that we can't give all of our energy to what won't fulfill us. So that's ruling and reward. It's glorious and it can be a good thing. We can enjoy it, but it can be frustrating. And what about relationships? Video games are a brilliant way of bringing people together, whether that's around the same screen or online. And in video games, you can build friendships and a community with people who understand your interests, whether that's locally or on the other side of the world. I used to minister to some students, and their closest friendships were with people who they had never met in person through one particular game. And it was in those relationships they felt most comfortable and most able to talk about Jesus. Interesting. There's a whole mission field here. Millions of people are playing video games. But we must also recognize that there is a frustration to the relationships in video games, because it can be that you can hide yourself behind your gamer tag. You can choose to show which part of yourselves you want to show to other people. And we can forget to love and serve those who God has placed around us physically. You know, do you remember real people? You know, flesh and blood. And we do know that no human relationships can ultimately fulfill us. Because we were made for a relationship with God, who no one has seen face to face, but who has loaded himself into this world, who has become one of us, so that we would know him. So whether it's ruling or relationship or reward, video games have this enormous scope to enjoy things that God has designed us to enjoy. But we must remember that they are limited in the satisfaction that they can bring us. Here's the thing. The glory that you and I are hunting for as we play games cannot be found ultimately in the games, but they point to the glorious one in whom it can be found, in Jesus. He is the glorious one. Let me put this in kind of gaming terms. Jesus is the true world builder. Think about John chapter 1. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We're playing around with little imaginary blocks. God made the whole world, and he did it without code. He just spoke, and everything that we've ever known has come into existence. This is our creator God. Through Jesus, all things were made. The true world builder. Jesus is the true hero. Games like to put us at the center. We're always the hero of the game, it seems. But God is the hero of history. The Bible tells us that we have all failed. We've all rejected God's rule. And unlike video games, there's no respawn, there's no redo. But Jesus has rescued us by entering our world, living as we should have lived, and dying in our place. Defeating the judgment of the enemy, the ultimate boss, and overcoming judgment, taking our judgment for himself. Do you see? Let me put some words up here from Colossians chapter 2 where you can see some of these things. He's cancelled our charges. He's made it so that we can be forgiven by being nailed to the cross. And he has triumphed over the enemies that you and I cannot defeat by ourselves. This is amazing. Jesus is the true hero. He's done these things for us. And being a Christian is not about trying until we succeed. It's about laying down our controller and knowing that we need his forgiveness, knowing that we need to receive his perfect score over our lives so that we can know God again. And he's done it. There is a hero of history, one greater than any video game hero. And here we see as well, Jesus is the true quest giver. I want to put it to you like this. Until we meet Jesus, we are stuck doing side quests. Now, if you play games, you'll know what those are. Side quests are the little bits of the game that aren't the main game, but you kind of are there to enjoy. And that's like us. If we don't know Jesus, we are only stuck chasing tiny little side games, side quests, whether that's money or relationships or video games. They're not the main thing. Only when we hand our controller over to Jesus and he gives us new life can we actually start living as he has made you to live. And this is exciting. It's an eternal quest. So as we come to know Jesus, the hero of history, we know him and he is the one who will work in our lives. He'll show his love to us. He'll make us more like him. And one day, we will be with him face to face when he remakes the heavens and the earth, the new creation. It'll be better than 4K or whatever it is that we're playing in these days. We will be with God face to face, loved by him. And he has done that for you. Do we see, friends, that nothing, not even a high score on your favorite game, comes even close to knowing the one who made creation, who has given his lives for us, who has been raised from the dead, and who gives us new life and an eternal quest with him? There's nothing, right? There's nothing like it. And we need to see video games in that context. Nothing compares. All ruling, relationships and rewards are brilliant fun, but they are only locking onto our longings that are really pointing us and hunting for Jesus. So this morning, if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've never started that main quest, you can start by just telling him you want to know him. And you can ask somebody before you go to tell you more about Jesus, because honestly, he's greater than any game. Don't settle for a life of side quests. Come and know the true God. And if you're a believer who games, where do you see the frustrations that I've kind of mentioned about games? And what are the greater things about Jesus that you need to be reminded of, that actually those things in the game are meant to be pointing you to him who is greater? We're going to finish just by thinking about how we make good decisions to game well, because that's kind of what we think about. We think about some of the boundaries that we need to set. But let's not miss, the main thing here is whether God is more glorious to us than games, whether we know him. Right? That's the key thing here. So let's think about doing some decision making. Now, as we think about decision making, there are going to be two groups in this room this morning. There are going to be those of you who need to make decisions about how you choose to play games. And then there's going to be the other group, those of you who want to help other people game well. That might be a parent, it might be a friend, but also hopefully that's all of us. So we want to encourage everyone to game well. And so the decision that both groups have to make is similar to a decision that has to be made at, I think, a good majority of video games. Can anybody tell me what is the first decision that you have to make when starting a video game? Similar. Choose your character. It's not character, though that is something that we have to do. There's, I think, typically three settings that you have to choose between. It's whether... Language. Not language, so that is very important, otherwise we understand. very wise answers. Difficulty setting, thank you. Don't know your name, but thank you. Yeah, you got it. Normally it's whether it's going to be an easy game, a normal game, or some kind of like expert legend mode or something like that. That's what we have to do. A good deal of games ask you to do that right at the beginning. And we, you and I, have to make a thoughtful choice about our difficulty setting in how we approach video games. The temptation is just to operate in easy mode, to really not give it much thought. We just want to be comfortable in life and have a good time and live life on easy mode. Jesus doesn't give us that option if we are following him. He's called us to love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and to love each other as ourselves, right? That doesn't sound like easy mode. He's called us to take up our cross and to follow him. That doesn't sound like easy mode. And the trouble is, if we don't give it decent thought, we will just end up doing what the rest of the world does. We will just end up gaming like the rest of the world does. We need another way to do it. And for gamers, that means not giving thought to how we play, but actually really intentionally thinking how we play. And for those of you who are helping gamers, easy mode for you might look like it could look like two things if you're in easy mode. It could be just letting them play whatever they want to play and not really thinking about it. Or it could be just policing and just kind of banning games without engaging with what those games are. You see, if you're helping somebody game, easy mode is not really thinking about it, or it can just be to ban and not engage. And Andy Robertson, in his book Taming Gaming, suggests that for kids, games need parenting, not policing. By that he means taking interest in the game, playing the game with them, asking about achievements and story and challenges, perhaps how you would ask a kid who's gone and played a football game. How did it go? What happened? What were the interactions in the game? Really taking genuine interest. Now, my dad, when he first played video games with us, we had the projector, we borrowed it from church, and we put it on the screen in our living room, and it was a snowboarding game. And within minutes, he fell off the sofa because he was kind of throwing himself around in his tumble off. He tried, you know. And for some of us, maybe parents, being asked to enter into the world of gaming might feel like you're being asked to shuttle, you know, pilot a shuttle to the moon. It just feels like a whole other world. But making that decision is stepping into hard mode for the gamer and for those helping gamers. But it's the right decision. One, because it honors Jesus, because it's discipling, it's leading well, it's helping people to know how to worship Jesus. And just like with a difficulty setting, the harder it is, the more you get out of it, because you're thinking about it, you're engaging with it, you're knowing what's going on. And as we do that, you and I, we're going to know that we need help to do this. As a gamer, I need God's help to make those difficult decisions. And as somebody who's helping gamers, you need God's help. You need his spirit in you. You need his word helping you to figure out this alien world that's called video games, right? We need God's help. And entering into hard mode, really intentionally discipling, is the way to go. So let me close. I don't know what time. Let me close with just a few quick fire kind of questions to help us ask ourselves, to ask those how they're gaming well. So the first is this, and these are the credit to Tim Wilson, the blogger, who these are his questions that I've adapted, but they're superb and I think they're really helpful. First one, can I thank God for this game, or is it causing me to sin? 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 that I've got there, it says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Can you legitimately thank Jesus for the game that you're playing? Now, this is a good question just to ask about violent games. Personally, I think there is a difference between relishing the kind of I guess graphic nature of the violence. There's a difference between that and enjoying the game. In the same way that you'd be discerning about boxing or paintballing or deer hunting, as a Christian, how do you do that well? But if violence is what's drawing you to the game, maybe you're venting, I'd be wary. For me, I do enjoy first-person shooter games. But I choose to stay away from certain game modes that might ask me to make a decision that my conscience isn't happy with. That I can't honor, I don't feel I can honor Jesus with that. And for me, if I'm frustrated or, you know, tired or stressed out and the game is frustrating me, then it's time for me to not play it anymore. Just in the same way that if you're going to go and play football on a pitch and you're taking it out on other players, maybe it's time to bench yourself or check yourself. There. Now, parents, I do think you should be involved in this decision. Kids, I know that's a hard one, but let your parents be involved in this decision. They are wise, and talk this is good for them to talk through with you, especially if you are under 18. But parents, you can get creative in how you engage with this. Andy Robertson, again, who I've mentioned, his son, I think, was 12 and was playing Fortnite, and he kept hearing words like headshot and stuff. He was like, right, we need to have a conversation. And so he, with his son, watched the film Saving Private Ryan in order to have a conversation about the realities of war and the kind of things that were going on in the game so that he wasn't oblivious. Now, he does say in his book, that wasn't wisdom that everybody thought was good. But how are we going to do that to help people, and particularly young people, think through that? Is it a cause for sinning or thanksgiving? I did say these would be quick fire. That's the long one, I promise. but it's good for us to tackle that idea of violence. So the next one is it time wasting or is it resting? There's a common critique that video games are just time wasting. Now, I challenge anybody who does puzzles to say that same thing, because you just make it and then you put it back in a box. And we can have that. I enjoy puzzles. I'm not going against puzzles. But there are ways that aren't producing anything that we can enjoy. It's fun, it's play, and it's a gift of God for us to enjoy. We weren't made to work all the time. God has wonderfully given us the freedom to rest and to play and create. So often video games are tarred with that brush. But also there's a challenge to some of us who would happily watch 2 or 3 episodes of a program in an evening, filling up the evening, doing puzzles, as I've said. We can all do things that aren't necessarily the most productive. So we have to make a decision. As I turn on this games console, is this a time where I'm going to rest well? Or am I time wasting? Or am I neglecting my relationship with God or with those around me? Have I got responsibilities to love them well? So there's a question here about, is it time wasting? Are we using our time well or are we resting? Are you a controller junkie or showing self-control? Games are really well designed to hook us. And so we need to check that we are not hooked. And a helpful question for you might be, when was the last time you said no to playing a game in order to serve someone else? So that might be, you know your room's not tidy, you know you've been asked about a billion times to do it, say no to the video game, take a break, show that it doesn't have mastery over you, tidy the room, love your family, right? Are you a controller junkie or can you say no to it? And taking a break for a week or longer might be the helpful thing to do, just to see how invested you are. Lastly, is it a place to hide or be known? I had a student once tell me that they met up with their mates at the pub and pretty quickly they decided to actually all head back to their own individual homes so that they could play video games together. Which just seems odd, an odd thing to do, but it's probably a very modern thing to do. And I don't think it was a wrong thing to do, but the better trajectory is the other way around. Video games can be brilliantly sociable, but we want our online gaming to create avenues of socializing and loving people face to face. And it's easy for games just to be somewhere where you hide, where you don't play with anybody else and hide. You can play story mode games, that's fine, but are you hiding? Or are you actively being known and knowing others? And that's an important one to ask. So does your gaming lead you to people or away from people? So these are some of the questions for decision making. So this is what we've been thinking about. We've been thinking about video games. We've busted some myths, and we've been thinking about how games can help us hunt for the glory that we were made for. And ultimately, we want to love Jesus, glory in Jesus over games. And we can love each other as we help one another do that. And I'm excited to do that well, so that we can be Christians in that space, not cut off from it, because there's millions of people playing games who need to know about Jesus and who have that hunger for God's glory. But they need Jesus for that, right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord God, we love the world that you have made and given to us to enjoy. But Lord, we recognize that in our hearts, we can love things more than you. For some of us, that will be video games. For others, it will be other things. And Lord, we want your help by your Spirit, as your word leads us to love you more than any of those things. Because, Lord, you are amazing. You are our world builder, you are our true hero, and you are the one who has a quest for our lives with you. Lord, help us to look to you, we pray. And I do pray, Father, that you would help us to have loving and peaceful conversations without judgment, filled with grace, as we learn to game well together, I pray. For your glory, we pray. Amen.